This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. Well, we're getting a lot of discussion of the subject this week, the basics of child rearing. Every time I touch on the business of disciplining children, we get an awful lot of reaction because it is so far out of step with most of what our society has come to believe these days. And yet it's absolutely biblical, and I suggested yesterday that we've got to keep a couple of distinctions well in mind. When the Scripture talks about training a child in the way he should go, it's talking about something more than simply teaching him. Of course, we're to tell him what God says, but training is more than teaching. Training is a matter of insisting upon God's standards, and we need to reinforce that insistence. We don't make a rule for our household and then ignore it when the kids break the rule. If we mean that, if we mean what we say, then you've got to reinforce it with discipline. And the second distinction is that discipline is more than and different from punishment in anger. So much of the problem today is that people have completely ignored this distinction, and we've seen so many instances of real violent child abuse when parents have struck their children and beaten their children in anger. You see, we should never get to the point of that kind of anger. If our reinforcement of our training is immediate, then it's not done in anger. It's done in a spirit of discipline. Listen again to some scriptures from Proverbs 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Over in the next chapter, chapter 23, verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. If you beat him with the rod, you will save his life from Sheol. Well, that's true if you do it in the right spirit, if you do it at the right time, if you do it according to God's standards. If you wait until you as the parent have become so frustrated, so angry with your child that all you can do is see red, and you pick up a rod and you start beating your child, you may inflict some real harm. But you see, if you understand what discipline is all about, that's not going to happen. Over in chapter 29 of the book of Proverbs, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You understand that we are commanded by God to discipline our children? This isn't an option. This isn't a theory among many competing theories of child rearing. This is God's commandment to us. If you do not discipline your child, he may end up going to hell, according to chapter 23. If you beat him with the rod, you will save his life from Sheol. Well, you see, we've gotten so scared of punishment that neither we do it, nor do we let our school authorities do it, and we're raising a whole generation of children who have absolutely no consistent standards. Now, I said yesterday that it's terribly important that we understand that the standards are to be God's standards, not just what we think about it, not just our gut reaction, not what some writer of a book has to say on the subject, but God's standards. Where do you find them? Well, same place that we found everything else. Look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. The words of God to his people Israel as they were about to enter the promised land. Chapter 6, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, Moses is speaking, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all of God's statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. And then some very familiar words. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You may know that some of the very Orthodox Jews take those words literally, and they bind some pieces of Scripture into a little bag, and they wear it on their foreheads, or they bind it onto their hands or their wrists, and they put a little mezuzah on the doorpost of their house that has Scripture in it. Well, those may be good things to do, but I want us to see the principle behind it, which is even more important. We're to be sharing the Word of God constantly with our kids. That's a responsibility of Christian parents. It's not something we leave to the Sunday school to do in a half hour a week. How can they possibly compete with all the other influences in the lives of our kids? Sesame Street every day for the little ones. Preschool and kindergarten, and then all day at school for perhaps 7-8 hours a day, playing with their children, more television in the afternoon. A half hour a week isn't going to make it, friends. No, Christian education begins in the home, and it begins with the parents. And it's a matter of sharing with our kids in child-size ways the Word of God, what He has to say on every possible subject. Do you speak about what God has said? Do you speak about God Himself as you're riding with your children somewhere? Are you taking advantage of opportunities when you're together to talk to your kids about the Lord? We've made it a practice with our children now for many, many years to take key Bible verses and paraphrase them in very simple, childish words and begin to inculcate those scriptures into our kids' memories. We make a game of it. Our oldest daughter is now 13, and she probably has several hundred Bible verses memorized. She's long since graduated to the real thing, and she's getting scripture for herself, digging it out of the Word herself. But the little ones we still are dealing with paraphrases and acting out verses and helping them to memorize verses of Scripture, and it's absolutely wonderful to see how God will bring those Scriptures back to mind. It's an amazing thing when your children quote Scripture back to you as is appropriate. I remember one day when Karen and I were fussing about some particular thing, and our daughter, our youngest, who was at that point only 3, said, "Be not anxious for anything," quoting Scripture back to us, because we had taken the time to inculcate that into her mind and heart, and now God could bring it back to her, and she could even share it with us. It's God's standards that we're interested in. And the basic pattern is that as we set as a priority the sharing of God's Word and the sharing of God's standards, and as we attempt to bring our family's lifestyle into conformity with what God has said on any given subject, not what the world says, not what the passing ideas of any given generation have to say, not what society's transient values may say, but what God has said, and we insist upon those standards. This is the way our family is going to work. And then, if and as necessary, we discipline our kids accordingly, not punish them in anger, but discipline them according to those standards. We're going to see our children coming into a sense of contentment and well-being. They know who they are. They know what is expected of them. And rather than provoking them to wrath, they're going to rest in that. Now, there's another principle, of course, and this is just plain common sense, that as our kids begin to grow up, they become more and more responsible to the Lord Himself, and we, their parents, are less and less in between them and God. And we back off. And I think the pattern needs to be that we set fewer and fewer rules as our kids grow up. Mind you, whatever the rules are, we still need to insist upon them. Parents will come to me and they'll say, "My teenager is just so totally undisciplined. I ask him not to bring drugs into the house and he ignores me." Listen, how can he ignore you if it's your house? You set those standards and you insist upon them. And you be willing to back up those standards with discipline. And that leads into the subject of tough love. This is the way it's going to be. Johnny or Mary, this is the way it is in our household. And if you're going to live under this roof, you're going to abide by these standards. And if you don't, you move out. That's a pretty gutsy thing for a parent to say, isn't it? I've seen God turn around teenagers who are absolute rebels when their parents are willing to take a tough love stand on what they know to be the Word of God and insist upon it. This is the way our house works, and we expect you to live accordingly as long as you're part of our household. I want to add a word to this. That last passage from Proverbs that I read talked about a child being a grief to his mother. And this insight has come out of reading the scripture for many years. I first read this in Michael Essie's The Phenomenon of Obedience, and I checked it out for myself, and I came to understand he was absolutely right. He says, the greatest ministry that the Lord can give any human being on the face of the earth is to be a mother. If the mother is a godly woman, the son will always be a godly man. We have evidence to prove this. Every king of Judah who had a godly mother was a righteous king before the Lord. All 19 kings of Israel, every one of them worse than the other, had heathen mothers, even though they had Israeli fathers. Where the mother brings up the child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, the child walks with God. Where he's brought up in idolatry, he walks in idolatry. And Essie says this, women have the greatest ministry that God can give. The child sees the father very little. He's out earning a living for the family, doing what he has to do. But the mother is the one who implants the seed of faith in the heart of that child. I want us to see the dignity of child rearing. Of course, in our generation, more and more, that's a shared responsibility. And correspondingly, more and more mothers are taking outside jobs. They have to in many cases. But see the dignity of child rearing according to godly standards and the blessing that God will bring to our kids as we raise them according to what He has said. Oh God, help us to be the kind of parents who will take this word seriously and expect you to bless it for your great name's sake. Amen.